This is the Technical Difficulties, and we are playing Two of These People Are Lying, because two of these people will be joining me. Chris Joel.
Telling the truth all the time.
Gary Brannan.
Big shout out to my friends in the Marmite Appreciation Society, the Umami Barmy Army.
And Matt Ooh. Gray.
You'll love them or hate them.
Hey!
That's what you came for, isn't it? That's what you're giving up your afternoon for.
And it normally comes down to me to explain how the game works. But before I explain how the game works, I will explain this. Yes, one of the microphones didn't work, so we're using a radio-style microphone that I have from upstairs.
So one of us sounds significantly better than the others. And it's our audio engineer.
Or it's just all plosives. Anyway, Tom has a pile of papers. On each piece of paper, one of us has written the name of a Wikipedia article. We only know the name of the article that we have written. Tom will pick one out and will show us the article. One of us will be telling the truth about what it is, and the other two will be lying.
And they'll have to make it up on the spot, because only one person knows about... You know what? I'm going to ask you all to pronounce Ute Muster. Chris, whatever that is.
Ute Muster.
Ute Muster. Gary.
Ute Muster.
Ute Muster.
Ute Muster. I can't do an Australian accent.
That's right, right, you can't. I thought you were aiming for Ireland.
I thought it was Irish.
Genuinely. Ute Muster.
Ute Muster.
Ute Muster.
Hi, Noi, Brian Coy.
That was it. That was it. We've done it, everybody. Get the balloons. He got an accent right.
Matt, I'm not going to try and do the accent, but do tell us what is that and why is it Australian?
The Ute Muster is it's the Ford Muster. It was a type of utility vehicle or a ute. And it's basically, a ute is basically a pickup truck made out of a normal family car. So yeah, imagine a Ford Mondeo, but instead of the kiddie seats in the back of the boot, you chop a line down and put a flatbed in it, so then you can store your plywood and, I don't know, kangaroos in the back.
Plywood and kangaroos!
I wondered how long it was going to go. I was like, haven't made an Australian joke, haven't made an Australian... There it is!
Do you want more details from me, or are we going to go?
No, that's just the first bit. So it's a utility vehicle in Australia made by Ford. Gary, Ute Muster.
It is a utility vehicle made in Australia, but it's a collection of them. Hence, it's a muster.
Oh! And Chris?
It is a gathering of a Latinate study society, hence Ute.
Right. So we've got two utility vehicles and two gatherings. Statistically, oh, yeah. I'm half right whatever I do.
Oh, f***. That's not how it works.
You don't get a half point. You know that, right?
No, I know that. Matt, can you tell us a bit more about the Ford Ute Muster?
It used to be made entirely in Australia. Until I think 2012. They were making some in America until 2017, but in 2012 they stopped production in Australia and they were very sad.
All right.
I had actually seen some of these utes after going to Australia a few months ago. I went there and I
It's a whole cultural thing, isn't it?
And people out in the sticks generally have them as well, I think, for moving your stuff about.
Yeah, I think I've seen them when I've been down there. It's and it looks ridiculous because it's not a big pickup truck. It's just a regular family car that someone's going, kunk, kunk.
They look great.
Yeah.
And I've now got a search up on Pistonheads and Auto Trader for all kinds of ute because I want a ute. I don't know whether on a Ford Muster, but
Gary.
Yes.
Strike.
I'm missing my notebook.
You
That's
are.
What feels wrong.
Would you like a notebook?
Yes, please. Matt is the ute from Australia. Gary, you are. See, I haven't got my notebook, so I can't remember a word of what you said.
It was a collection, a gathering of those who are enthusiasts of the ute.
In Australia?
Well, yeah, because as we've gathered, no other f***ing wants to do it.
Nowhere else in the world.
Nowhere else does it. So yeah, it's one of those classic Australian things. People arrive in their utes, drive around in their utes in a big open space, and then rate each other's utes and in various categories.
RateMyUte.com.
Pretty much. So prettiest ute, dirtiest ute, funniest ute.
Which sense of dirtiest?
Dirt as I think in mucky, and dirt as in dirty. Ute as well.
Well, like Christina Aguilera?
Yeah, sex ute.
You...
Why did I come here again?
I was wondering. Because that's, frankly, the worst title for a pop song I've heard. Sexy. And there are a lot of bad pop songs.
And you can
there.
Sing that to Tom Jones in Sex Bomb.
I'm just thinking that, yeah.
Sex youth, sex youth. You're a sex youth. Drive me, baby.
So yeah, and it's in the Outback, and they've got a bit of a reputation on account of being lowbrow entertainment.
Well, I was thinking this
that's an Australian scale, by the way.
Oh,
not
right,
the global scale.
In my head, this is like a really sort of low budget, small Mad Max.
Yeah, I think it pretty much
just
is
got
that.
Thousands of Utes kind of descending on this.
I think that's what they're like. Yeah, in that just the people rock up and go, "I like that Ute," and then get drunk and
do you know
what it is in this country? It's a traction engine rally. That's what it is.
It's not Mad Max. It's racked off, man.
Racked off. You ripper!
I would like to formally apologise to the nation of Australia again.
I wouldn't.
Again.
Chris, please save us from Australia here, because this is a Latin meeting.
Yeah, in the late 19th century, as the last vestiges of Latin in any sort of common usage were dying out, a group of people got together and formed the Ute Muster, which is a completely nonsensical name if you speak any Latin.
Oh, Latin is in the language, not the place.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Latin. Yeah, Latinate wasn't a good choice of word there,
GCSE
was it?
In Latin.
GCSE in Latin. Yeah, Latin is in the language.
He already knows whether this is rubbish or not. I don't.
Well, no, because as a note, that is a nonsensical, it's not a Latin word. It's a group of people who don't know Latin, know a lot of other people don't know Latin.
Oh.
And form a pseudo-scholastic society, and we are Ute Muster, which, much like that muster, an excuse to gather together and get pissed.
Right. So it's a lot of people who are claiming...
It's this moment where Latin is still, you know, well thought of, but... presumably nearly completely dead in common usage except the church, and go, well, we can make ourselves look quite good. Yes, we are the Ute Muster.
Is this Oxford and Cambridge, or is this just London?
No idea.
Right.
Nonsensical name, nonsensical structure.
I'm hesitating here, because for the first time, I don't believe any of you.
Welcome to Two of These People Are Lying. As Tom's now called it, all of these people are...
I'm glad we finally got that inversion after the last one.
Yeah. I genuinely don't believe... Matt, I believe you've heard the word ute in Australia, and I absolutely believe that you want a ute that's entirely in character. And I just feel like that's that Ford wouldn't call it the muster. That's the thing that doesn't work for me.
Have you seen Ford's naming conventions?
Yeah.
Called a car a Mustang.
Yeah.
So Muster is so far off that branding.
I like that a name for a car is the one reason.
That's the only reason.
So in a country that's got a lot of cattle farms that use utility vehicles and muster the cattle twice a year to move it to and from where they graze, the muster for a work vehicle is nonsensical.
It just doesn't feel right to me. It just doesn't.
All right.
Gary. The gathering of Utes in Australia is a bit more plausible.
Oh, good.
But it feels like you just saw the words and went, this is the obvious thing that those words
now,
are for.
You know when we have to make stuff up on
yes.
the spot?
Yeah.
It's almost like that's what you have to do.
Right,
see
exactly.
The words.
Yeah.
But, ute muster.
Sounds plausible.
Cheese, yes. None of the words are there.
But Chris, that also feels like it's what you did for Ute. Ute?
It's the fucking game!
I know. But normally I'm going, one of these is plausible. And I've got... Well,
not. So far, you've told us that we're not. What more do you want from us? You have to decide, Tom. You have to guess now.
We can't all be... Well, we could all be wrong, but one of us would be a dick.
Yeah. And I'm not ruling that out.
Yeah, let's save that one.
Matt, make a note. I may regret this, but I'm going to rule you out first just because I don't think Ute Muster is a valid car name.
I can't believe you're doing
that. I know. I'm probably going to be very wrong about it.
I can't believe that.
Chris... I don't think it's right. Gary, I believe you. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Can you believe how many bricks I sh** when he went for you, Tom? I was like, oh, he might make something up. That's exactly what is on my article.
And to be fair, it's exactly what I would have done if it had come to me first, because that's so obviously what
right.
that is.
That's why I didn't go for it. That's why I was like, that's just what someone has made up.
Oh,
and I was trying to... somehow get you to come to me first, because I've done a lot of research about utes recently because I want one.
So I was talking about the prizes you can get in a ute muster. There's best feral ute, So that's the dirtiest one.
Oh, right. Not one that makes its own way there without a driver.
Yeah, and you know, you've got the best street ute, the best Ford ute, which would be the Muster, as we all know.
Exist.
You've also got these novelty categories, because they were serious, obviously, in that you've got the ute with a boot and best one, best dog in a ute.
Yes!
Oh! And no doubt photos are available.
How many utes do you think have been at, like, a ute muster?
Oh, thousands. Tens of thousands.
No, tens of off. I mean, come on. Be sensible. 9,736.
Wow, it's like the Burning Man of Bogan.
Jesus H. And if anyone's looked, there's a ute on a pole!
Right, Gary, go get yourself a new article. We'll be back in a moment. Gary has got himself a new article. It is somewhere in this pile. I'm going to pick one of these three. And our second article is the Windy City Open. The Windy City Open. Let's start with Matt this time.
It is a squash tournament.
Squash tournament. Gary.
An architectural competition.
Architectural competition. Chris.
A miniature golf tournament.
Miniature golf tournament. So we've all gone with competitions. We have miniature golf, architecture, and squash. I'll start with you, Chris. Miniature golf tournament.
It is a slightly ironic golf tournament in the sense that usually an open tournament is played on a links or so forth, big outside country spaces, whatever else. Chicago has got those, probably has a number of good golf courses, whatever, may even have a real open. However, group of enthusiasts get together, let's have a miniature golf tournament where it's really windy, one hole on the top of any building we have access to. Rotating cast each year, obviously, is who can be bothered to build a hole, who has access to the roof of their building.
I mean, I want to play that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Don't we all?
Rooftop mini golf in Chicago.
With a bit of a tour round, obviously. It's going to take all day, depending on where the buildings are. But
You know those holes where you put it in, those mini golf holes where you pop the ball in a hole, then you have to see where the ball comes out again. You can do that with the lifts.
I think
it into the lift, the doors
closed. It'd be fab, but I suspect they probably don't, as they're probably on pretty rough ground with trespass laws anyway. But
what happens if you miss?
Well, it's mini golf. If you've managed to chip it off the edge, I think you get a bonus point.
Sorry, I completely misunderstood this. I thought you were teeing off one building, trying to get into another.
No, this isn't MASH with a 25 with a mile long par 25.
I can see that happening in Dubai.
I mean, that is more awesome in that sort of... Well, it'd be
No, wait, I'm thinking they've done that off the helipad on the...
Yes, they have, on the Burj Al Arab.
Yes.
But, to another building.
But Gary's
though.
Kind of pitching a pitch and putt. So,
yeah, ding, yeah.
So you've got to judge it perfect.
Oh.
Which is not what I was on about. Let's do that later.
I was like, if there are any VR game developers out there, that's a solid idea.
10%.
Only make 10% of the game.
Yeah.
So early access.
That's okay. That'd be 1.8 holes.
Yeah.
Which is probably about as much as you get around that before you put someone's window through.
Yeah. The trouble is that it is going to be a lot of people who have... it's going to be a lot of the sort of hipster types who are turning up wearing plaid jackets and hats and everything and just going, oh, this is jolly fun, as opposed to, no, I just want to play mini golf on top of a skyscraper.
You do not want... Well, you've just described the photograph from the article. You don't want to see it, but yeah.
How many of them had penny boards?
I have no idea what a penny board is.
It's like a skateboard, but it's kids-sized, but adults right.
I was thinking it's like a penny farthing, but a
skateboard.
Yeah,
Penny's a brand name.
Hold on. Let's just unpack that for a minute. That's a skateboard with one massive wheel and one tiny wheel at an angle like that.
Yeah,
it's a downhill skateboard.
It's what they rode in the 1870s.
Sir Tony of Hawkesville. Yes.
He did popularise the sport.
I just called it a downhill skateboard. All skateboards
are fucking downhill.
It depends how much work you're prepared to put in.
It's a funicular skateboard.
Funicular skateboard.
Again, we keep inventing things I want to go on. Do I want to stand on a skateboard that's being pulled up a hill by a traction engine? Yes, I do.
No, I was thinking it's like the one at Linden and Lynmouth. It's water-powered, so the man who needs a piss at the top pulls the man who doesn't need a piss at the bottom up. Gravity water-powered funicular skateboard.
Powered by bowels.
You've invented the urine-powered cliff lift, Gary. Congratulations.
But it's the piss cliff lift.
Everyone's just chugging water at the top. Come on, we want to go down.
Whee!
I was waiting for it. I didn't want to do it myself.
Gary, an architectural competition.
Yeah, in Chicago, as the name would suggest, it was an open architectural competition. So anyone could submit designs for new works of, you know, new buildings, works of architecture, to broaden the pool, if you like.
We're all going to have a giggle about broaden the pool now, and then we're going to move on.
We're going to carry on and be grown-ups. Of which the notable thing is that none of the designs were accepted.
That's not notable. So many architectural competitions have gone that way.
Someone fudges it and, you know, a professional kind of gets the gig. In this one, they decided that basically none of these buildings were acceptable and quietly moved on and never talk about it again.
So none of the buildings were...
Yeah, it was during the time of people being inspired by people like Frank Lloyd Wright. So everyone was going for outrageous kind of designs on building, and everyone went actually impractical in the city. As windy as Chicago, they're all really bad ideas.
Frank Lloyd Wright designed... the house of his that I went to, I can't
remember. Falling Water.
Falling Water.
Cliff lift.
His house was designed around the perfect dimensions for a human being. He modelled it on himself.
Yep.
He's a short ass. I walk around that house like this. I'm not perfect.
It's genuinely a little bit oppressive, because I was going around with it. It's genuinely a little bit too small and a bit too oppressive, because Frank Lloyd Wright was like, no, this is the correct design for someone who is 5 foot, whatever he was. And it's all a little bit too small. I will construct it over this running waterfall. We've got a damp problem, but it's a perfect house.
Perfect, I say. Perfect.
Architecture facts.
Did he make slightly smaller doors that only really he could get through?
Yes!
No one can come in! I like
Not even house. Just smaller, a perfect outline. He couldn't even change coat.
It's top hat! Got to wear this one. Whoa!
That sounds a bit more gormly than anything. Yeah.
So it looks like a cartoon, as if he just bashed through all the walls.
Anthony Gormley's house is just in the shape of Anthony Gormley, just bigger. You enter through his foot and there's... this...
I mean, it's high and low.
Does it have a ballroom?
Hey! No, it's got two of them.
I'm genuinely, this is the first time doing this format that I've wished for a Mystery Biscuits button.
Yes! Because,
nailed it.
You can freeze the balls off a brass Gormley.
Matt,
Hi, what are we talking about?
Well, on the subject of balls, squash tournament.
Oh, is that what I said?
Nice segue.
Thanks.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, the Windy City.
Is that
Open.
What I said? That was either the worst or best acting I've ever seen.
Nah.
Because I now believe you already. Please try and No, wait, you get points. I forgot now we're scoring this. Squash tournament.
I was looking through the previous winners of it. It has separate men's and women's tournaments. And the recent winners in both have been Egyptian.
Is that a big thing in...
I don't know. But the fact is, how many of them were Egyptian?
Oh, right.
It was like an Aussie runner-up. And it wasn't all the same person. It was two people, I think. But
squash is basically the most middle-class sport possible.
It's what kills middle-aged executives.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Lacrosse.
Ooh. No, because I disagree. Because you can play lacrosse with... You need the equipment for it. But then all you need is a field. You have to hire a special room to play this game.
All right. High lie. Real tennis.
Yes,
real tennis, though.
I'd love to meet the kind of people that are playing real tennis in their lunch break.
Go to Lords. That's where there's a real tennis court in
and
London.
Cambridge.
It'll be behind the cricket ground, there's a real tennis court.
Do you want to tell the world what
real tennis is? What tennis was before lawn tennis. And it's a really weirdly based thing. It's basically...
off the walls and the ceiling.
Yeah, but the whole building's designed like a monastery. So you have a cloister down one side that you're allowed to bounce the ball off because it was based on a palace with a cloister.
It reminds me of the game that a kid would make up based on weird geometry of exactly where they happen to be.
Which then becomes codified and you have to play it in the same sort of surroundings, which means you have to basically build the courtyard of a royal palace to play in it. And there's really...
That's not a middle-class sport, though. That's my argument.
That's an upper-class sport.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, lawn tennis is kind of the one you would piss about with just to keep yourself amused. You know,
Real tennis is the proper one. Okay, squash tournament, architectural tournament, miniature golf tournament. Ah, oh. Chris, I want yours to be true.
I do too.
I don't think it is. I really want it to be, and I hope someone in Chicago sets that up and invites us all to play.
What have you done?
I don't think it's real. Gary... What I love is the detail that none of the buildings were actually successful.
Mm.
That's genuinely possible, particularly for Chicago. Matt, squash tournament. I love the detail about Egyptians. I love the, oh, that's what I said, which frankly, I don't believe for a minute. The thing that's actually tipped me over to thinking it's you is you going, oh yeah, that's what I said, because I don't believe that for a minute. Matt, I think it's you. Am I right?
You are right, but I had actually forgotten what I'd said. I had completely forgotten what we were talking about thanks to the tangent. And if you look back at the shot, I actually did that to look at the camera.
In which case, that's a point to Gary.
One there.
A point to Matt. And 2 points to me. I'm getting good at this.
It's like you've played it before.
Let's nobble him.
We still haven't got an outro.
No.
Yeah.